Start the Top Video Game Podcast from HorribleNight.com for Tuesday, March 18th, 2014. Come at you live on Twitch.tv/HorribleNight. I'm your host, Justin Lacey, joined tonight by Justin Gifford. How the hell are you?
Pretty good. Slightly panicked, but that's panicked. To be understood.
Yeah, you've got... you can't actually panic till April, right? I mean, kids run on time all the time, right?
Well, yeah, but I have, like, what, 3 weeks before... 3 weeks max before I don't get to play video games for 3 months, more or less.
Were you or your wife, were you early babies? Is there something to be concerned about? Or do you think it'll be on time?
I don't think I was early. I don't know about Carrie.
Did your mother tell you that you were also just in time?
No.
My mom still loves that joke, and it's been how many years, so...
I did get an intern named Justin at work, though.
Is he cool? Does he do his
well,
justice?
Is he of the new
Justin variety? And I think I know who you know who I'm resonating.
No, he's 24, 25.
Okay, he's not Canadian.
He hates Jasons. Sorry, JP.
He's one of us. Besides being anxious, what have you been up to?
Well, we switched from UVerse to Comcast, and there's a whole long story I'm not really going to go into, but it culminated with me drilling a hole in the side of my house about 7:45 last night to run the cable that the UVerse guy had disconnected like 3 weeks ago.
Well, I think your video feed seems clear, so have you noticed an improvement?
Everything except Netflix, yeah.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, my connection for gaming is super fast.
That's the most important thing because you've been playing some games, and we'll get to that. You also it looks like you went to go see the Veronica Mars movie. You're kind of a super fan.
I did. I went to go see that and it was great.
All right.
They threw in just enough callbacks in like the first half hour of the movie, like where you know the theater was having a good time. Mm-hmm. But they didn't overdo it either. Like it's the callbacks don't ruin it for people who don't know.
Did
Veronica
it
Mars.
Seem like a movie or a long episode?
I think it was a movie. I mean, the way it ended up was good. Cries out for a sequel, but not in a bad way.
That's good.
And there were some awesome cameos.
That's all you can ask for. I mean, was it kind of surreal? Because that was kickstarted, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
I can't think of. I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of indie films that have been kickstarted, but like, one of that level that's going to get the big release. Like, I can't think of another one that's done that yet.
No, there's one coming out from Zach Braff.
Yeah, that was the only.
But other than that, no. And the funny thing is, Rob Thomas, the show's creator, who started this with Kristen Bell,
Matchbox 20
was. Not that Rob Thomas.
Just make sure.
Although he does joke, and he's like, "We're trying to get the real Rob Thomas to this premiere." But he and the rest of the cast have just been sort of blown away by this. They're like, "We're just trying to make a movie, and we figured we might like give you guys DVDs for it," and then it exploded, mm-hmm. and now it's on 350 screens.
That's awesome. Very cool.
I did gift my digital download to a friend who's a fan who lives in Hawaii. Where they didn't have any screens, so I just sent her the code.
True,
so
it was my true humanitarian.
Good deed. Yeah.
We just finished up True Detective because that took all of a couple days to watch because there's only eight episodes.
Yeah, I gotta watch the rest of it. I watched the first three episodes.
All right,
so badass.
I won't go into it too much, but really, really dug it while I watched it. It was kind of one of those shows like it's. I don't know. There's so much discussion from Matthew McConaughey's character about his philosophy and that kind of stuff. Like, after a while, I start to wonder, was it any good or was it all up its own ass? But I still really liked it. I liked the atmosphere. I liked the way they told the story. And definitely intrigued and really curious to see what they're going to do with season two. But
are they doing a second season?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, I really liked it. It was cool, and especially because the old true crime books were mm-hmm. so dark and twisted that, you know, they do True Detective, and they sort of kept with it.
It's definitely dark and twisted. And
yeah.
It's like you just don't... I like the uneasiness of, like, how grounded in reality is this actually going to be, and, like, they just how they kind of flirt with that throughout the entire series is really, really entertaining. And, yeah, like, every time I see a Matthew McConaughey show or movie, I don't know how I'm going to react to him, because he's kind of... It's hard to see through the McConaughey-ness in some of his characters, but Rust Cole is a pretty awesome character that goes, like, he completely gets lost in it, so that was pretty awesome. I was afraid I was going to be just watching it just to see Woody and Matthew McConaughey just kind of just be on screen, but it was told a good story, and he stopped noticing them after a while.
I did like how subdued he played his character. It was unusual. He's normally kind of over the... Both of those guys were normally pretty over the top, and Woody was still Woody, but Matthew McConaughey, I was like, damn. You're subdued and cerebral. This is weird, but good.
Let's get to the games. We've got a handful of topics. We'll see which ones we can get through tonight. And the first thing that struck me today on Tuesday... was that they've been talking about it for a while. We knew that SimCity's offline mode and the Diablo 3 auction house, the auction house is getting shut down. It ended up happening on the same day, which, you know, as two of the more infamous games in recent memory, I guess, especially recent infamous features, it was just kind of ironic that they both kind of made their turn on the same day. And, I know you're not particularly invested in either series, but it's kind of, I don't know, it's a fitting conclusion, and one that, you know, I'm definitely feeling the effects. We had a Diablo 3 podcast last week, and I'm excited about that. I still don't think it matters for SimCity, but it was just when I saw that kind of come together, I had a moment, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that they're the most infamous of games that came out that were supposed to be ready when they were released. Yeah. In recent memory. And you know, my wife's been playing SimCity and loves it. We didn't have any problems with it because it was almost a year after it was released.
Sure.
And I haven't played Diablo 3, not for any lack of enjoying Diablo 2. It just kind of hasn't happened. The auction house always sounded like a horrible idea to me. Like, it was just like, oh, you're going to screw this up. The always online mode, I don't know that I've railed against it because I don't think it's a horrible idea, but it's, again, it's just so potentially fraught with problems that it sounds like ill-advised.
Yeah, and then they, like, at the time, they came out and said, this is impossible, we can't do this. And then... shortly after, of course, modders made it happen on their own and kind of proved that it was possible. But I don't know. With that side, like, the auction house thing didn't surprise me. You know, Blizzard kind of stays in touch with their fans, and this was a big, big change, and it makes sense that it's coming before the expansion's released. Like, you know, they're continually supporting that game.
Yeah.
SimCity, on the other hand, is just kind of like, I don't... Like, thanks for doing this, but really, you're still... putting a bunch of resources to making this happen, like, to getting this right, like, it's almost, you'd think they would have moved on by now. And it was just kind of like, I don't see this, like, maybe it's, you know, EA does need some goodwill outreach to its fans for sure. So this is a PR victory more than anything, but,
it's PR victory, but I guess the thing that surprised me about it, not so much that they were putting effort into it, but it was like, you guys fixed the problems. Like, okay, there's an offline mode, but nobody cares anymore.
Yeah,
the game works.
The only big problem still out there is the city size, and that you knew that wasn't going to change. So it's just kind of like, I've already written it off. I'm not going to go back to it at this point. But I also don't hold the ill will that I did around that rough launch. So, but I'll be curious. You know, now there's less pressure. Just get in there and, you know, create your own region of cities and kind of. Control your own destiny in that regard, but I don't know. It was just, these are two companies that are supposed to kind of have their shit together, and to see how bumpy of a road both these games have had, and then for them both to kind of hit a milestone like this on the same day, that's kind of strange.
Yeah, but at the same time, these are both PC games, mm-hmm. and that is it's got to be the loudest, whiniest bunch of bitches on the entire internet.
Oh, I don't know about that. There's some. I don't know about that. There are.
Who is more louder? I mean, other than Justin Bieber fans.
Dude, have you been involved in any console war discussions? Like, I would say.
I write the console war discussion off right up front because it's not like you're talking about loyalty to your family or.
I'm telling you the.
Coffee versus tea.
You're talking about platform fanboys, and the PC has them as big as the consoles do, but they're all equally loud and whiny. And I don't place one above the other, is all I would say.
That's probably fair, but on the other, well, yeah, I don't care about this enough to argue about it. I think it's where I'm going.
I know what you care about the most, and that's virtual reality. And you know, we need at least three companies working on this. We need Oculus Rift. You know, they're gonna take care of their crowd. But I'm so glad to find out that, you know, I think about a month or so ago, Sony confirmed they're working on their virtual reality stuff. And this week, it was confirmed that Microsoft is also working on a virtual reality technology of their own. So, hey,
If anybody missed that was Justin's sarcastic font. Dude, Oculus Rift nailed it. The stuff I've read about Sony, and I tried to find the first article I read about the Sony project, mm-hmm. was... This is dumb. It doesn't work all that well. It's uncomfortable, and Oculus Rift is better.
I don't get why.
It was from somebody who'd worn both of them. I have nothing about Microsoft other than, hey, they're working on it. Okay.
Like, this is a technology that tried and failed once, and then, you know, coming off of, you know, our motion gaming fads and our
your motion gaming fads
and the continued focus, like 3D, and the continued focus on just trying to play games on, you know, multiple devices at the same time, like with some of the tablet gaming stuff, like kind of
Surface and the Wii U, and
it's this just kind of Me Too mentality gets pretty annoying. And three, I just want to see the Oculus come out, and then let's iterate. Let's not like. You don't know how that thing is going to actually, if it's going to break through, I guess. And then to see, you know, Microsoft and Sony kind of doing their own thing. Like, Sony doesn't surprise me. You know, they're a devices company much more so than Microsoft has proven themselves to be.
Well, and Sony probably got their ass. I mean, they lost $2 billion in 2013. Like, not just Sony Computer Entertainment,
right.
But, like, Sony. And they had a shitload tied up in 3D. So they need to knock something out of the park. But I am surprised that Microsoft's just jumping on.
Yeah, and
as far as I know, they don't even have a prototype.
I mean, honestly, I expected one of them to partner up with them and the other one to counter with their own technology. And to just know that they're all kind of dedicating their own resources, it's just like, I don't know. It's like Sony with their uncomfortable, unusable device, and then... You know, I'm picturing, you know, everybody, we see the Kinect, we want the holodeck, and you throw in some virtual reality glasses with that, and, you know, it has some, that's a pretty awesome dream come true, but you just imagine the actual nightmare scenario that is going on right now, and their R&D for this, and they think that's what they're making, but...
Oh shit, some indie company came up with angel funding and the device, and they're gonna beat us, and... Holy crap, we better come up with one.
It was, I wanted to believe that we weren't going to be heading down this path, but it's so predictable that it was kind of sad. So, sorry, this has been, I didn't mean to choose a topic that sounds so jaded, but it was just, these are the things that kind of caught my attention. You've been playing, one of the highlights of the next generation of games, but I kind of want to talk about, you know, Titanfall's out there for Xbox One. This is the week that Infamous Second Son comes out for PlayStation 4. So, but up until this point, as far as new games and just kind of the slow roll of this first quarter or so of the new consoles, what do you think's going on?
I'm not happy. I mean, to put it bluntly, and I'll admit my memory is not all that clear about the last round because it was almost 9 years ago. But man, like, you guys knew this was coming out. I know that there was a pretty big hardware jump, especially with the PlayStation 3 deciding to go Blu-ray. But I guess I've been sort of disappointed / surprised at how slowly stuff is coming out. We've got Watch Dogs in May, and then there's no official release date for Quantum Break, and I guess, Destiny's not, is that August?
I think it's actually September.
So I knew it was late summer.
Yeah.
So I'm just surprised that there's not more stuff coming out.
I think the Watch Dogs delay hurt everybody, because that was kind of, I know a lot of people that's why they were buying a console, like, last year, like, no matter your platform of choice. And then, you know, Infamous was always the one out there for PlayStation 4, but I could have waited, you know, at this point. And then I'm still kind of waiting on that one for the Xbox One. I have a feeling when I get it, I'll have two or three games to play, but I don't really know what that's going to be. But I'm mostly surprised that, like, you know, Sony definitely was out there touting their indie games that were coming to the platform. And then Microsoft's been making some moves there as well.
Are there actually games on Xbox One Arcade to download?
I don't think so. Like, that's
okay. I didn't think so either, because I was like, you know something I don't.
Today they announced 25 games that are actually coming to the platform. 25 indie games. They've been doing the whole, these are development partners that are going to be working with us. But it's like, how about games and release dates of games? Can you get us? Can we have some games? Can we play the games?
It's frustrating to go on Amazon and be like, oh, there's no release date for this yet, because I bought these headphones without a release date, and it was a frickin' month and a half before they finally released it. after the original release date, to clarify that.
So, I mean, we knew it was going to be a lull, but I really thought there'd be a couple, like, just small surprises along the way to kind of keep us entertained, and, it's in between Infamous and Destiny, I don't really know what's going on. You know, it's nice to see, like, Arkham Knight and get announced, and, like, the holiday is starting to fill up a little bit. But, you know, Witcher 3 got delayed till next year. That was another big one. Still kind of waiting for those, with that next wave of first party stuff from both companies to see what they've got coming. And it's just been, I guess we expected it, but it's been a little bit more painful than I expected at the same time.
Yeah, that sums it up. But on the other hand, I've gotten to catch up on quite a bit of stuff on the 360 that I don't know if I would have gotten to otherwise. So,
But new games I am excited about. Did you play any Magicka? Do you know anything about Magicka before I get going here?
Magicka. No, that's Hexen. No.
So the team that developed Magicka, which is a four-player kind of wizard game, all you basically need to know is you have half a dozen elements that when you tap their keys and put them down in a certain order, it'll cast a spell. Like, if you cast, like, two fire and an ice, it'll, you know, cast a meteor or something. Or two fire and earth, it'll cast a meteor. But the most fun aspect of that game to me was when you play co-op with somebody, if you, like, call in a meteor shower, your wizard and your co-op buddy wizard also have to dodge all these meteors, because friendly fire is on and you can kill yourself. So it had a really quirky sense of humor, but fun gameplay at the same time. Anyway, these guys, Arrowhead Studios, they are working on the new Gauntlet game. The trailer's awesome. That was released this week. And, you know, I've been playing, and we've played a few of the, you know, the indie PC dungeon crawlers, four-player local co-op, and you know, some of those I always reference, oh, this kind of feels like, you know, this could be, this is kind of like the inspired by Gauntlet or the next Gauntlet, and to actually see a true-to-form, really good-looking Gauntlet game on the horizon got me really excited. It just, it had, it's back to, down to the kind of isometric perspective. It doesn't look like, it doesn't look like an arcade game. It looks like Gauntlet dungeon crawler, like meets Gauntlet meets Diablo 3, but not with all the weight of the RPG-ness of Diablo 3. Just a lot more kind of, I don't know, fun action and lots of promise there. And like I said, if they have like a friendly fire mode, I think that could be a pretty good time.
How do you have friendly fire mode? I mean, because I'm just remembering.
I don't think it should be on.
Which was sweet, but yeah. Like. Because I'm thinking about that barbarian throwing like a 3-wide spread of axes,
and the
wizard's just like, wizard needs health.
Yeah, but just give me the option is all I'm saying. Because I don't think I would enjoy playing it for very long, but it'd still be funny as hell. So especially like to have it on and not tell your buddies, and then you know that's kind of the way I was picturing it. But then you sent me a link to an indie game, and you want to talk me through it?
Is this the link I'm thinking? Is this the
Javelin?
Oh, so this was one of the funniest things, and I have got to download this. It was originally, I believe, made in a game jam, sort of as a joke. Not exactly in the realm of Splunky, but still in this stupidly hard platformer exploration thing, and you have one javelin. It's called the I think it's Ein Javelin.
Yeah, it's got a. It's you got some weird
Ein Jager or something like that. I can't remember, but and we will actually post the link so you can see what the hell we're talking about. But just the review I read of it was hysterical because the guy's like having a great time at the beginning when there's, you know, there's crowned everywhere and everything. But apparently, you have one javelin. That's it. That's your entire weapon. You have to kill everything to clear the screen and to get from one end of the map to the other. And at the end, there's a picture of like his javelin stuck in this platform, floating over a black abyss, like into the side of it. And he's like, "I can't get the javelin without dying."
I think the caption was something like, "This is you have no idea how sad this is. This makes me cry."
Yeah, it was hysterically funny and. I'm kind of just looking forward to playing it because, you know, it'll be $5 or $10 or something like
that. They got the web versions out there and, like, a demo of it. And
Javelin.
Yeah, so I played a little bit of it. And, you know, I think they said, like, 60 levels. And so, yeah, essentially you're just running through this platformer and you just have the one javelin. It's your only weapon. If you lose it, you're screwed. And... It has that that difficulty spike and but great platforming physics to make it pretty fun and frustratingly hard but also entertaining. So it check it out for sure.
I feel like that's a party game.
I think it could. I mean,
or like a marathon game. You know, sort of like the super.
I was saying like. Give me like a javelin wars type of experience where it's you know, four player free for all, four javelins and just spearing each other. Then, you know, combine that with the super pole riders and you've got something.
Yeah.
So. So before we I have some thoughts and some background on the new Shaq Fu game, but I want to know what you know about it. I want to get your gut reaction to me. Say, do you want to talk about the new Shaq Fu game?
Okay, my gut reaction to this was started out laughing, and then I thought about Cole, and then I was like, okay, this has got to be a joke. Like, I know it's not a joke, but it's got to be a joke. So I went to the Indiegogo page for Shaq Fu 2 or whatever the hell it's called, and it's like these guys are talking. Let's see. What did he say? Oh, yeah. We got tired of bowing to the monolithic men with the money and wanted to work with people who care about the quality of the product. Like, Shaq Fu is a horrible fighting game. It was a stupid idea in the first place, and you guys want to remake it? Like, we're still waiting for a remake or a sequel to Eternal Darkness, and you're remaking Shaq Fu? What the hell?
And
so Shaq, it was not. Yeah, and it was not like an Onion site. I thought it was satire. I was just like, "This is not the Onion. What the hell?"
That was my favorite. My favorite reaction is you didn't think it was a real thing. So, I mean, that, did you watch the pitch video with Shaq just kind of sitting in an empty movie theater or wherever the hell he was talking about it?
No.
Yeah, it's.
I was gonna waste time watching Shaq talk about Shaq Fu.
And you know, like, I mean, Shaq's got a social media following. He's got his thing, but I don't think that audience is the I'm gonna fund a video game audience. And
their rewards are horrible.
I wasn't one of them. He'll follow you on Twitter. Is
yeah, yeah. So, the rewards are terrible.
It's kind of interesting to see the sports world kind of collide with this, you know, a crowdfunded indie game community. And I don't know. I haven't checked on it. Let's see how's it actually doing? Because he's raised 99,000 of 450K so far. I think when it started.
That's $98,999 more than it deserved. Like, that could be going to support some indie game that's awesome.
And, like, who are we? He's got video game industry professionals that come from legendary projects like Halo, Street Fighter, Final Fantasy. Just the combination of those three. Like, you know, give me my Halo designers and make me a fighting game in Final Fantasy. Alan Wake, like, that's just... Oh man, yeah. I wish it was satire, but it was. I don't
it's
know.
Not.
It was also a really funny story of the day. So, let's move on to our games of the week. I would talk about Towerfall, but I don't think you've played it, and I can have a little bit better conversation about my other game. But I just want to kind of give a nod to something that you pointed out. One of our friends of the site, Indie Gamer Chick, she. Posted an editorial related to the fact that there are some games out there that, with her epilepsy, that she cannot play because of, you know, you see those warnings of games like the flashing lights may cause seizures, and she's afflicted by that, and she's wrote some wonderful editorials on how she deals with that in games, and then she tweeted out a photo of the settings for Towerfall that basically you have the option to turn those flashing effects off. Which was like revelatory. How do you put that warning in front of so many games and just not have the option to remove it? Like,
and I guess I don't know. I don't know if you followed that conversation on Twitter, but I mean, she got a reaction from a lot of indie gamer or indie game developers, mm-hmm. including some big ones, who are like, "That tell us what actually never occurred to us. Yeah. What do we need to fix?"
And I don't know. I think this is going to – you're going to see this in bigger games from here on out. It's just started an interesting movement and something that people really weren't – you know, they weren't concerned with and weren't talking about. But at the same time, they're all aware of it because how long have those warnings been around? And, yeah, it was just a really cool moment to see, and she deserves all the kind of – her relationship with the indie development scenes, just one of the more honest ones out there, and it was just really cool to see some good come from all of that. So,
yeah.
Towerfall would have been my game of the week, but what is your game of the week?
Mine is definitely Titanfall. I got that on release, and then I didn't really get to play it, and then I maxed out my data on my phone because my internet was down, so I use that as the hotspot, but regardless, it's been awesome. The single player is essentially non-existent. The plot is really dumb. And I don't care.
I was going to say, but I didn't buy it for any of those reasons.
It's so much fun.
But tell me, you were at least curious how they're going to try to pull off that multiplayer campaign, though, right?
I didn't even realize it was all multiplayer campaign. All
right.
I was like, hey, Max, okay, I'm in. Here, take my money.
So tell me, like, what are you loving about it?
It's you level up quickly, guns unlock quickly. It's
parkour.
At least so far, I'm not getting wasted by the college kids. Running along the walls.
They can't afford Xbox One.
Well, there are some people who are like prestiged four times, which is, considering the game came out 1 week ago, is really stupid.
I think all giant robots are prestigious. Just that's one of my stances.
The weapons are good. They're well balanced. I like the giant robots.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really well balanced game. I have a lot of fun playing it. And you know, they didn't. I wish they would do something a little bit more creative with the game modes. Because it's straightforward stuff.
But it covered the core bases too.
It covered the core bases. Yeah, and I also like the fact that there are. I don't know. There's AI like all over, just grunts running around that sort of fill out the screen. So it's not just six.
So I can get points. That's the way I look at that.
Yes,
like I can play. I can play this game, and I could get some points because I suck at these games.
But. Yeah, pretty much.
The other cool thing in reading the reviews and just that I didn't catch in any of the pre-release coverage was. Can you talk me through like the drop ship at the end of the missions, like how that all works?
It's the mechanic is very similar to the Mass Effect 3 multiplayer, in that once you lose, you've got, I think it's 30 seconds.
You tell me.
I think it's 30 seconds to haul ass across the map to get to your drop ship, and once that happens, you have to do some climbing to get up to it, jump in. And then people can continue to shoot at you and try and destroy your dropship. And they can blow up your dropship while it's waiting to take off.
Have you blown up a dropship?
I've helped.
Okay. But you haven't gotten the kill shot?
I don't think so.
I don't know. That's not exciting to me. I really liked that addition to Mass Effect in the multiplayer. That was kind of one of those like little bonuses that was like, you know what? I'm gonna stick with this multiplayer. This is kind of fun. And, the fact that they incorporated that into the competitive shooter is really cool to me. And just I knew about the parkour, I knew about the giant robots, and I knew the gameplay was going to be tight and the verticality and blah blah blah, the speed, all that stuff. But that somehow slipped through the cracks. I was like, you know, that sounds pretty cool.
It's pretty sweet. And you can even hose people down when they're sitting in the door. I mean, so it's like a helicopter.
But the million-dollar questions. Console seller.
For me, so far, yeah.
Okay. And then that kind of
first game where I'm like, okay, I get it.
And then, how do you feel about the $60 price point?
Doesn't bother me at all.
All
right. I mean, it's gonna get my money's worth out of it. I will qualify that with, if you're gonna charge $60 for anything where the multiplayer is not this tight and enjoyable. You better have a decent single player.
This might be the bare minimum you can get away with for a full-priced multiplayer-only experience. Got it.
Yeah.
That's fair. I mean, I don't know. So we've been playing a lot of free-to-play stuff on the PC. Like I've got PlanetSide 2. I've got Warframe. I've got Loadout. And we just started playing Hawken. So Hawken for my mechs. Loadout for my, like, competitive shooter, I guess. Warframe for my co-op play, and then PlanetSide for my like getting vehicles and military space military stuff. And I've started dropping money in into those games, but like the fact that I've been absorbed in that world and then looking over to see Titanfall at that price point has it's raised some questions. I don't doubt it'll be successful, but it's going to be. There's going to be some interesting conversations, like as those lines between, like I recognize all the games I mentioned are kind of PC gamer focused, but Warframe did come out on the PlayStation 4, and I think you're going to start to see more free to play model types of games hit the Xbox One and PlayStation 4, and I wonder like if one of those becomes prevalent on the consoles, like it actually gets some traction, if that'll kind of raise the conversation when the Call of Duties and the next Titanfall and those games come out.
I mean, my problem with free-to-play is always going to be the same. Is this pay-to-win? Because if it's pay-to-win or pay-to-advance, I'm not playing it. I don't care how good the rest of your game is. Like, if it's competitive multiplayer and it's pay-to-win, kiss my ass.
Yeah.
I'll pay the $60 price point.
I agree more, but keep an eye on that stuff, because these games are maturing, and like, I don't know, when we loaded up Loadout, the smoothness of that experience and with no barrier to entry was kind of surprising. And then for me, Titanfall still just has that barrier of entry with that at its core. For me to dump dozens of hours into it, it's got to appeal to that same Call of Duty appreciation in me that I don't really have for long extended amounts of time. Like, and I get that I'm not the audience, but that's ultimately my hang up, even though I do want to kind of jump in some giant robots.
Yeah.
How do you use your Titan? What's your Titan strategy?
My favorite one is the, I don't remember the names, but it's the lightweight one.
Mm-hmm.
That has three boost bars, so you sort of skate over the ground. I like being...
Do you like getting in the Titan?
You just hit X.
No, I mean, I've read, strategies of... Titan. Yeah. What's your Titan strategy,
I guess, I think I prefer to be on a Titan, let somebody in an Ogre go up, which is the big, heavy, duty one.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, in MMO terms, I'm a ranged guy. Sure. Like, I will let an Ogre go in and slug it out, and I'll use long-range stuff and just hose somebody down.
Cool.
So, Strider, thank you, Jordan.
So, my game of the week, outside of trying to survive in Towerfall and get to level up my characters in Diablo 3, I've been playing South Park in kind of my downtime. And are you a South Park fan at all?
I like the show, but I mean, I haven't watched the show other than the movie in probably 5 years.
Gotcha.
It's funny, just timing.
This is the best fan service video game I have ever participated in. Like, this, the density of the jokes in South Park are going to stick with me for a really, really long time. The bonus is that it is a enjoyable lightweight RPG on top of it. Like, it's actually cool. Kind of pulls from the Paper Mario kind of active combat of, you know, everything looks like the old classic 16-bit battle system, except, you know, whenever you attack, there's a moment where you can hit your attack button again and do extra damage, or you can hit the button when you're getting attacked to kind of defend a little bit more, so it keeps you engaged in the combat. But ultimately, the challenge isn't going to be
why you're playing. Attack buster stuff, I remember... seen people play Paper Mario and they do something and then just wail on one of the buttons.
Yep.
Yeah.
A lot of that stuff that it just keeps you engaged in what would be an otherwise pretty boring just average gameplay system.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not making any waves in the RPG world, but where it does make waves is just the density of the content and just the fact that I've kind of had two heavy stints with South Park, kind of had that early stint and then right after the movie, but I haven't really watched the last couple of years, but there are just so many references and so many jokes that are just kind of scattered to the wind here, but they still resonate. Like, the best part to illustrate it is the fact that whenever you are fighting or collecting things in the world, you know, you'll collect some money, you might collect some equipment that you can use, but you also collect all this junk, and the junk... Mm-hmm. Is usually you just sell it in stores for money, but it's a reference from some episode. It's like just like, you know, I make a Barbra Streisand doll, or you know,
Brian Boitano action figure.
Yeah, like the things if you weren't into the show, you just would completely ignore. But if you like the show, you're gonna get a chuckle out of half the stuff that you collect. And
nice.
That the thought went into that level of detail can kind of see, you know, where they're going with the actual quest stuff. Like, if you like South Park, even a little bit, you'll get a huge kick out of this game. And it is, it's going to be over too soon, no matter what happens. It's only supposed to be like a 12-hour game, but I think...
Oh, that's kind of a bummer. I mean, with all the stuff you're saying they packed into it, that makes sense, but it's a bummer.
But it's paced really well, and it's kind of like, after a certain amount of time, how much do you really want this game to go on? And
like the Family Guy movies.
Yeah.
Family Guy's a half an hour show. They make it a 2-hour movie, and it's like, stop.
I would argue that Family Guy needs to be a Adult Swim length show, but
that's fair.
But I if anybody with a passing interest in the show, just it's kind of, I would say almost a good swan song for fans to, like, I don't know how long the show is going to continue to go on from here, but this is, you know, they finally did right by by a franchise of that caliber in video games, and that's pretty cool. And as a fan of Matt and Trey for this long, it's just, you can just feel their hands in this game, and the fact that it's still a really playable and enjoyable game is just kind of the bonus. So
awesome.
I will say that it is better than South Park 64, hands down.
Okay, noted.
No turkeys. So I think it's going to do it for tonight's show. We actually got through everything, Justin. That was impressive.
Yeah.
And then you're going to be back with us in 2 weeks for your most likely your final podcast before that thing arrives.
For a while. Yeah.
So, but we'll definitely check in with you, hear from you on the site, and look forward to our next Top Video Game podcast in 2 weeks. And we'll see you next time.
Awesome.